The following program is a presentation of the FlyPod New Media Network. www.theflypod.com.
Welcome to My Two Cents. My name is Marianne Stanley, and I invite you to look at some of today's most pressing issues through an entirely different lens than that used by the corporate-owned media. Our focus will be on old-time journalism. In other words, on getting to the truth by referencing facts and sources. Stay tuned and see if you've had a hunger that nothing else could satisfy. Until now, that is. Hello. This is Marianne Stanley, and this is My Two Cents, the show that talks about the current issues of the day, or issues of any significance that don't receive quite enough in-depth coverage in the media. Today I want to take a look at the problems we're having with environmental discussions. I don't know which side of the argument you stand on as far as the environment being something that we need to be concerned about, or being climate deniers and saying, no, you know, this is something that isn't of any interest. This is a trumped up situation. I taught environmental science at the college level for decades. So from all the reading and all the studies that I have, and from knowing that the scientists, the legitimate scientists, all say we have a serious situation going on with man-made climate change, what used to be called global warming, except that people would say, oh yeah, well, we had all this snow. How do you account for that? So they changed it to climate change because that's what it is. It's going to be things that are unusual, whether it's more rain in a dry place or more drought in a wet place or more snow in a warmer place or, you know, lack of snow in a place that used to be cold enough to support snow. That's what climate change is. And it troubles me that there is still this mocking that often is seen when it comes to the environment and climate change. To me, it seems so obvious that you don't wait till your kid gets hit by a train and then say, well, I need to tell him to stay off the tracks, or falls out of a tree and breaks his arm. And then you say, you know, I really should tell him not to climb those high trees. It's too late. You can't wait till the tragedy hits. You can't wait till the tragedy happens. It has to be something that we're all old enough, wise enough, mature enough, and caring enough to prevent these kinds of unnecessary tragedies from occurring in the first place. That's called maturity. That's foresight. That's saying it isn't worth the gamble. It isn't worth the risk. We can't be this passive and blasé about something that is going to affect each and every living being on this planet, from protoplasma to human beings, everything along the way, plants, animals, people. Everything, everyone is going to be affected. And I don't mean positively affected either. I mean that we're going to find that there isn't enough drinking water. We're going to find that we can't grow foods to sustain us anymore. We're going to find we can't breathe safe, clear, clean air. That's unacceptable. It should be unacceptable, at least. Isn't it? If you really care, if you really treasure life, and who among us doesn't? I mean, we consider it an aberration if people commit suicide. The rest of us treasure our lives. We don't want them to end early. We don't want them to end at all, if we could prevent it. So why in the world would we walk knowingly to the end of the cliff and dare it to ever end? Just keep walking right out over it and think that we won't fall when there's no cliff to support us anymore. That's the pressure we're putting our Earth on, under. Our Earth has 7 billion plus people on it right now. It's not geared to support that many people. We have 37 states that are facing severe water shortages. That's not good. We never thought in the United States we'd have to worry about fresh water. After all, we're not the Saudi Arabian desert. We're not a country that just has the ocean around us and we don't have any fresh sources of water. But we've been so greedy that we've turned our backs on what we're doing and we're just enjoying a lifestyle that's pleasant. But we have children, and we have their children and their children's children to think about. We have a responsibility, yes? Don't we have a responsibility to take care of those who come after us? What if we came into a world where we couldn't breathe without choking, where we couldn't drink enough water to sustain us, where the foods we ate made us sick instead of healthy? Wouldn't we have a right to feel resentment towards our parents and grandparents who saw it coming, who had all the warnings and all the time in the world to self-correct and turned their backs instead for whatever reason they might have had? Well, that's the situation we're facing. That's something that we truly, truly need to look at. And the time is really, I was going to say it's now, but it really is like 10 years ago, 20 years ago. We should have been seeing this. We did see it coming, actually. In fact, there was the documentary that was put out by Al Gore in the early 2000s, I believe 2003, perhaps, An Inconvenient Truth. And he was speaking as a scholar, because he really was a scholar. He wasn't a politician, as we all probably pretty much know now. But he was a scholar, and he was very committed to environmental issues due to the influence of his own college courses, particularly one college professor who made an impression on him. He began doing his own studies. He began consulting with scientists. He put this together, and it's worth everyone seeing if you haven't seen it, because if people want to sit around and discuss environment, they can't do it while turning their back on information because they think it might have come with a slant from a political source. Once you see it, you could decide if it's political. But without seeing it, we can't make that kind of argument. And there is so much material in there that needs to be heard by everyone about the scale and the sweep and the speed of what's happening to our Earth. We see it in the weather patterns. We see it in the intensity of the storms. We see it in the loss of life. We see it in the horrible things. Think of this. While I'm recording this, we have Colorado burning, and it's burning so many thousands of square miles of wilderness. What is this? And last year, remember, it did the same thing. We had all the wildfires. They were in Arizona, New Mexico. What does that mean? What do you think that means? Is it just, oh, well, we've lost this acreage? Can you imagine this world without trees? Can you imagine surviving summer without shade? They said that part of the Colorado fires, for instance, are hitting an area of thousands of acres of trees that are already dead because they've already been killed by an explosion of beetles and insects that are thriving. They wouldn't thrive normally, but they're thriving because we're not getting the winters we used to have that would kill them off. Populations of birds are dying because they're being hatched after the insects hatch that they feed on because of the changing of the weather. So there are all of these things happening. Do we hear about it? Absolutely not. Why do you think that is? Why are we not hearing about these things that are going on out there? The reason we don't hear any of this is because the Koch brothers, who are oil and gas industrialists, billionaires, they have a vested interest in keeping us in the range of being climate deniers, in making that the more acceptable, cool thing to be, so that they can continue to have the lack of regulation that allows them to contaminate and exploit our environment. It's not theirs. It's really amazing when you think, I bet you 50 years ago people would have swallowed their tongues trying to conceive of what is happening now, which is that we have just basically a couple based on the billions of people, a couple of corporations that are doing anything they want, while the rest of us, the other billions of us, have to take the beating that causes. We are the ones who have to eat the toxic food that's being caused by genetically modified organisms that are being pushed by the giants of Dow and Monsanto. We're the ones that are having to be basically guinea pigs in this stew of air and poisonous water, the contaminated water that we're getting from, again, corporations. They're polluting the oceans. The oceans are dying. Even cruise ships. We should stay off of those things. I took a cruise thinking, wow, this is going to be great. And then one morning in doing my laps around the deck, I saw all of this brown stuff flying out behind the ship into the ocean. I thought, oh my God, that's us. That's us dumping our sewage, our waste, directly into the water that the creatures of the ocean need to process in order to breathe and to live. And multiply that by these huge floating cities out there that are leaving constantly from one shore and going to another. There's so much we just don't really even think about. But I'd like you to. And I welcome all of your comments. I'd love to hear back from you. You can reach me by writing to emailing shout@theflypod.com. That's shout@theflypod.com. This has been Marianne Stanley at My Two Cents. Thank you for joining me today. So that's it for today's show. Thank you for listening. Your feedback is always welcome. Just email us at shout@theflypod.com. Until next time, this has been My Two Cents with Marianne Stanley.